What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Catching Heaters. I am your host, Matt, and as always, I am excited to be here with you today. We have a great week of sports upcoming. A lot of good things going on. The NBA playoffs. The Cardinals are finally back to playing baseball this weekend. I'm super excited for that. Lots of other fun topics going on in the sports card market and fantasy kind of revving up for football. So I have an exciting episode for you today. I hope you're excited for this week in sports. We're going to do the rundown today, which is going to be five hot topics that I want to bring up for today's episode. I'm also doing our fantasy corner, our fantasy segment today. I'm going to kind of give some drafting advice for the NFL fantasy season upcoming. And I'm going to focus on wide receivers today. I'm going to give a couple late round wide receivers that I think have some potential for you. And then I also kind of cherry-picked three rookie wide receivers that I like going into the year that you could get some production out of. Like I said, great week of sports upcoming. Thank you to everybody that has been listening. If you've been enjoying the podcast, please hit that subscribe button. I would really appreciate that. Leave a comment. If you like, give me a rating. Go check me out on the social media networks. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on TikTok at Catching Heaters. Feel free to send me a DM, you know, reach out if you just feel like chatting about sports or have any questions on anything. I'm more than happy to get within the community and talk sports with you guys. All right, guys, let's jump in. We're going to do the rundown. First topic for today. With the NBA playoffs coming up, I am excited for all the matchups, first of all, but being a Heat fan, I'm really excited to see what they can do this year. In the first round, we have a tough matchup versus the Pacers, and it's fun that we're playing the Pacers. We've been playing them a lot during this bubble. You kind of have that TJ Warren and Jimmy Butler rift or feud that kind of they were butting heads during the regular season. It's going to be fun to watch them in the playoffs and see how the series pans out. And just looking back, traditionally, you know, when the Heat had the big three and they were going up against, you know, Paul George and, you know, guys like Roy Hibbert and Stevenson, we always had, you know, great series back then. So I'm interested to see what this series can bring. Obviously, as a Heat fan, I would love a sweep. I don't think that that's going to happen. I do see the Heat winning the series, though. I think overall, from an outside perspective, we are pretty deep with shooters. And with the leadership of, you know, Butler, you know, Bam is playing a lot better. And you got, you know, Hero and Duncan who have been shooting the ball really well. You know, I'm not going to sleep on the Pacers, though. Oladipo is a big-time player. I've watched him in previous playoffs, and he really steps up. And, of course, TJ Warren has kind of been the talk of the bubble alongside, you know, Dame Lillard and Devin Booker. And then, of course, you got, like, Miles Turner and Brogdon on the Pacers. So they're going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be fun to watch. I believe the first game is on either Sunday or Monday. I'll have to double-check that, but going to be a fun series. I'm going Heat in six is going to be my prediction. I hope, you know, we can pull it out and then, you know, advance to the next round and see who we have then. Moving on, let's go over to actually one other topic that I wanted to bring up today. Actually, I'm recording this on Saturday. So we have the play-in game between the Trailblazers and the Grizzlies. That's going to be awesome, man. I mean, Dame Lillard has just been phenomenal to watch in this bubble. It's going to be fun to see him go up against John Morant and see how this – who's going to get the play-in seed. Who's going to be the number eight seed and have to go up against the Lakers. From a card perspective in the market, you know, I'd like to see – John Morant in that and see what his cards will do. I don't have any investments in John Morant, but it'd be fun to see a young guy get in and do great things. But from a matchup standpoint, just being strictly a fan of basketball, I think I'm rooting to see the Trailblazers get that A seed because you think about that team and the players that they have, they actually have an opportunity to possibly beat the Lakers. I don't see it happening, but with Lillard and Carmelo now, you know, playing a lot better, and you got CJ McCollum. And man, you know, think about CJ McCollum having that back injury, and he's playing through it, and he's playing pretty well considering he has that back injury. So it's going to be interesting to watch. I'm rooting for the Trailblazers. I think they get in. And hopefully they give the Lakers a run for their money, and we see a great series there. Let's move on to football. There were a couple big signings in the past couple of days. You had George Kittle signed a 5-year deal, making him the highest, you know, paid tight end on a per year basis at $15 million per year. And then right after that, you saw Travis Kelce get signed as well, which was cool to see those guys getting their money and, you know, the organizations showing that, you know, tight ends do deserve to be paid well. Obviously, I think Kittle was trying to be closer to what the wide receivers are being paid, you know, that $18 to $20 million, but it's good to see him get locked down. I think he's super important to the offense. You think about what Shanahan does with he puts the emphasis and importance on running the football and kind of creating off of that. So with the play action and the other type of players that they have in receivers, I think Debo Samuel is going to be out some of the year. So I think Kittle is very important to that offense and kind of Garoppolo's crutch, you know, at some times, and his safety valve to go to him when he needs a big play or needs that crucial first down. So good to see him locked up in San Francisco. So happy for him. And then of course, Kelce is a big time player for the Chiefs. I'm sure Mahomes, you know, put an emphasis on, you know, we need to keep this guy around. So the two best tight ends in the game right now, getting those extensions is cool to see. Let's move on to baseball. The first topic I wanted to give Mike Trout some love. I really think that we just need to step back and take a second and kind of soak in and watch what he's doing. He could end up being the greatest player of all time, from a hitting defensive standpoint, just overall all around one of the greatest players that you'll see in and out every single day. Watching his at bats is really fun. He's such a tough out, and he has tremendous power, great speed. I don't think I need to dive too far into him, you know, just because he's that great of a player. And I think about growing up, and I was a huge Albert Pujols fan, and how terrific Pujols was for that 10-year stretch when he was with the Cardinals. And I was just looking back, and Trout is only 28 years old, and he's at 293 home runs and 200 stolen bases. And to kind of compare, I kind of look back, I'm like, all right, well, where was Pujols? Because he had that huge 10-year run where he was just tearing the cover off the ball every single year. And for comparison, through Pujols' 28th season, he was at 319 home runs and Trout's at 293. You think if Trout would have had a full year this year, he probably would have been lining up directly with where Pujols is. And then you think about Pujols closing in on 700 home runs. Could we in, you know, 10 years have Trout closing in on 700 home runs as well? It's just something to think about. And I'm not here to pump Trump or pump Trout or anything like that. I think it's just, I wanted to bring attention to it and say, look, you know, pay attention to what he's doing and enjoy it, because some players have these careers and they're here and then they're gone. You think about the last couple of years of LeBron and enjoying him and his greatness. So take a step back. If you have an opportunity to just watch a couple Angels games and watch Trout, I recommend you do it. Or even once everything's done, to go watch him play in person. That's one of my goals once we're able to get back in stadiums and you know, go see sports again. So go check out Trout. He's doing great things. The last topic on the rundown today, the Phillies called up Alec Baum, and then my boy Dylan Carlson with the Cardinals got called up as well. Baum is, you know, second in ranked in the organization. He batted .305 last year with 21 home runs. Big time power potential. And I've talked about him on previous episodes, potentially getting called up and playing in that DH role. If they needed some extra bats in the lineup, it looks like the Phillies have done that. And they have him playing third base right now. I watched him the other day. He made a nice play. He got his first RBI. He's had a couple hits already. So good to see him in the lineup. Keep an eye on him. He's definitely a guy that has some potential moving forward in that organization. And then, of course, Carlson, number one in the Cardinals organization, batted .292 with 26 home runs and 20 stolen bases through AA and AAA last year. He's only 21 years old currently. He can play center field as well as the other corner outfield positions. I've been pounding my chest on Carlson. I think he's going to be a great player. He's a switch hitter for us and still very young. I'm excited to see what he brings to the team, especially now that we're back and need to make a big run because the Cubs are, you know, on top of that division right now and looking really good. So I'm excited to see Carlson play today. He's making his debut today. So go check it out if you get an opportunity and look at those two prospects that are starting to play now in their organizations. All right, let's move on to the fantasy segment, Fantasy Corner. Like I said, I'm going to kind of just give a little drafting advice, you know, going in, things that you want to kind of have in your mind going into the draft and throughout the season. Talk about a couple late round wide receivers that I think have potential to make an impact on your team, and then go over some rookie wide receivers that were drafted this year and, you know, someone that could possibly make an impact for you. Let's start off with the drafting advice. And to give a little background on my fantasy league, we play a different style than traditional. It's not a PPR. It's not a non-PPR. We're really focused around big plays and touchdown oriented. So, for example, you only get points for every 50 yards, whether it's receiving, rushing. And then quarterbacks only get points for yardage once they hit the 300 passing mark. Now, the way that, you know, we can get big scores is we grade on the length of the touchdown. So it's kind of like if it's a big play, you can be really rewarded for it. If there's a touchdown under 10 yards, it's going to be a 6-point touchdown. Touchdowns from between 10 yards and 39 yards are going to be a 9-point touchdown. And then 40 plus yard touchdowns are actually 12 points. So we really put emphasis on big plays as well as touchdowns. And then we put a little bit of a twist on our league as well. If a position player does or scores a touchdown that is opposite from their position. So if Christian McCaffrey as a running back catches a touchdown, then he's going to get double the points of what that touchdown would be. So if you're talking about length of touchdowns, if it was a 6-yard receiving touchdown, traditionally those are 6 points, but those would end up being, that would be a 12-point touchdown for Christian McCaffrey since he caught the ball. Same thing for quarterbacks. If they run in that, or if a wide receiver runs in a touchdown, they're going to get double the points. So you can imagine with a 40-point touchdown traditionally being 12 points, if Lamar Jackson runs in a 60-yard touchdown, that's a 24-point touchdown. So we really put an emphasis on the big plays in football, and it makes it very exciting. And it kind of, the points, when I look at other leagues and I play in other leagues, they ultimately kind of pan out to what they would have scored in another league when you add up all the yards and things of that nature. So it's just a different twist and fun way that we play it. I was fortunate enough last year to win both of my leagues that I played in, so I'm always happy about that and love bragging to my friends, of course. But let's go into the drafting advice. I think, of course, you need to look at your league, be knowledgeable at how many positions you have to draft, how many teams you have in your league, and things of that nature. Be aware of your scoring system and all of that. That's going to play a lot of factors into your draft. But a general consensus for me is I think first round, you definitely should be going running back. And you think about getting a workhorse into your fantasy lineup, I think, is the most important thing. The wide receiver position is pretty deep. I mean, there's obviously the top tier guys, but with the way that the league is going right now and for running backs, and you see them a lot of teams going to dual tandems and splitting carries between two guys. I think the emphasis on drafting a running back in the first round is extremely important. And even in maybe even in the first two rounds, going running back, because I think with the way that the league is going with passing, there's a lot of opportunities in those later rounds to pick up quality wide receivers. You know, PPR is a little bit different of a beast for that second round, even the late first, if there's one of those top tier guys that you really want to have on your team to solidify those points. So, you know, that's being aware of where your league is at. But still, I think having the workhorse of a running back is important. So that's my first piece of advice, is I would go running back first round, regardless of your league settings. The second thing is, when you're drafting, I think whether it's a live draft or online draft, you have to be aware of where runs of positions are going. So, for instance, if you know, a lot of running backs are going in the first round, and then there's a ton of wide receivers going in the second round. You got to kind of be aware of that and kind of forecast people that are picking in front of you, what their picks might be, and then strategize and maybe go the opposite. That way, when it comes back around to you, you're not kind of going with the trend of everybody else and losing out on potential picks. It's a lot easier to do it in a live draft because you can see the full board in front of you and the different colors of the position players as you pick and put them on the board. Sometimes online, it's a little bit more difficult as you're trying to see players and look at them. But I think that can be a very sound strategy, is to kind of go against the grain sometimes. Because if in the second round there's a ton of wide receivers going, they're probably in the third round, if they have a running back wide receiver, they're probably going to try to trend back towards running back or maybe even a tight end in those rounds. So in the second round, if you go another running back and you pick two running backs, then in the third round, when everybody's trending back towards running back or tight end, then you can hone in on a quality wide receiver. Then you have, you know, your two running backs and a wide receiver. It's just a different way to kind of look at it and something to think about. Obviously, you want to go with best value in front of you. You don't want to reach for anything, but you definitely want to be aware of those types of things. Moving on to another piece of advice is being aware, especially this year, of your bench spots and drafting backups. I think bench spots is going to be very crucial this year. And if you draft a workhorse, you know, in the first, second round, making sure that you get their backups in later rounds, especially with COVID and the way things are going. I see, you know, in baseball right now, and players having to sit out, or even injuries in general. It's in most years, it's important, obviously, to get the backup. I think this year, above all, is going to be extremely important to utilize those bench spots to your advantage. Moving from that, the waiver wire is going to be extremely important. So being able to hold your high position in the waiver order for when you actually need it. I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, you draft and then there's week one and you have this wide receiver that catches two touchdowns for 100 yards and everybody puts in waiver claims and is trying to pick up all these hot guys. You know, I'm not the biggest fan, unless you have a big time need, of using a waiver wire pick week one. I think if you wanted to pick somebody up to slot in for a matchup, just add them and don't use your waiver pick, because what's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of people put waivers in and then you're going to climb the ladder for when you actually need to pick up a player, whether it's an injury or on your team, or if there's a big injury in the season and then there's that guy sitting out there that could lead you to your championship. And you want to keep your waiver status high at top three at least, so you can make a sound pickup. So in going into the draft, those are some things that I would be thinking about. Obviously, the way your league is set up is going to play a big factor in how scoring is set, the system is set up. So be aware of those factors and, you know, draft well. Let's move into a couple wide receivers that I think late in drafts could give you some great potential. The first player, and this is a little bit of a homer pick, but I really like Preston Williams this year with the Dolphins. Last year, he started out a little slow. I think a lot of that had to do with Rosen. I don't like Rosen a lot. I didn't like that trade very much for the Dolphins. But once they established Fitzgerald as the quarterback for us, you really saw Preston Williams start to take off. In week 7, 8, and 9, he was, you know, really the number one wide receiver for the Dolphins before he got hurt. And he's 6'5", he's 218 pounds. He's a big, lengthy wide receiver, really great target in the red zone. He did get hurt last year, so out of his rookie year, you know, the injury concern can be there, but he is back healthy. He will be starting this season. He's still very young, though. He's only 23. And, you know, I think a little bit towards the end of the season where Tua could possibly be playing, and you think about the opportunities that he can provide, especially if he lives up to the hype of accuracy and what he's expected to be for our organization. If Williams can get some nice rapport with Tua, he already kind of had that with Fitzgerald, so that's why I like him even to start if Fitzgerald is going to be throwing the ball, because, I mean, Fitzy loves to just toss the rock around, and he's always very competitive, so he's going to keep us in games. And then the last thing to touch on is we had a couple of wide receivers for the Dolphins that have been opting out. Allen Hurns, and I think we had another wide receiver opt out. So Williams and Devontae Parker are really the two staples there on the outside. And I think that he has an opportunity to put up some quality stats. So keep an eye on him in late rounds. And even if he's in free agency, someone to keep an eye on, especially after the first week or so. The second guy is with the Bengals, John Ross. John Ross started very hot last year before he got hurt. He had 11 receptions, 220 yards, and 3 TDs in 2 games to start the season. And then he got injured, and he just wasn't the same the rest of the year. So you look at that wide receiver core, they do have, you know, some pretty good core of wide receivers. Of course, they have A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd. They drafted T. Higgins. So, and of course they have Burrow now, and I think that they're going to run that type of offense. They're going to let Burrow go and really open things up. With T. Higgins being a rookie, I still think that John Ross is going to get the snaps on the outside. He's a deep ball type player, and I think Burrow throws a fantastic deep ball. So with the speed that Ross has, I think that there's potential for him to be an impact player, especially early on. And then you just think about A.J. Green. Is he reliable enough from a health standpoint to be consistent enough to play? So I know Boyd's going to be there, but he's more of a slot wide receiver and the you know, move the chains type of guy with the receptions and that intermediate type wide receiver going across the middle, where John Ross is that big play type wide receiver, and that kind of plays into Burrow with his deep threat mentality. So keep an eye on John Ross. I think he's an interesting play. And the last guy is extremely well known. It's Larry Fitzgerald. I just see him falling in drafts, and I think at the end of the draft he's totally worth a pickup, especially with, you know, Hopkins joining that wide receiver core, and he's going to garner a lot of attention. And Larry Fitzgerald is just steady, man. And you think about Kyler Murray, he's going to want that guy that he can count on to go to. Of course, Hopkins is going to be there, but with all the attention going towards him, Fitzgerald is just one of those guys that in the red zone, you know he's going to go up and get that ball. And reception-wise, I think that he's going to continue to pile up the reception. So he's a Hall of Famer, one of the best receivers of all time. For him to go that late in drafts, especially with Murray taking the next step this year, and then you got Kenyon Drake, who has the potential to be a nice player on that offense. I think the offense potential there is big, and Larry Fitzgerald is going to get a piece of it. So keep him in mind moving forward. The last segment here, let's talk about some rookie wide receivers. And the first one plays for the Eagles, Jalen Reagnor. He got drafted last year, and he is 5'10". He's 206 pounds. He's a speedy wide receiver, got good jumping ability. They really think he's a polished route runner, which is nice. And then he also has family ties within football players. His father was a defensive lineman, Monte Rigger. So that is always a good thing for me when I'm looking at rookies coming into the league. He definitely has a feel. His family has a feel. His dad knows, can prepare him for what to expect, you know, going in. The Eagles really needed to draft a wide receiver, so I expect him to be starting, you know, on the outside. I don't know if Alshon Jeffrey is going to be healthy going into the year. And then you have DeSean Jackson, who supposedly is healthy, but, I mean, he's one fly route away from a pulled hammy. So I think he's going to get plenty of looks. He played in a spread out type style at TCU in college. That really kind of meshes well with Philadelphia runs kind of a West Coast style offense with a little altered style to it. So I think that he'll fit in well with the style offense that they're running. And Carson Wentz likes to throw the ball deep. So with the speed that Jalen has, I think he has an opportunity to make a nice impact on that offense. The second guy is Michael Pittman with the Colts. He's 6'3", 219 pounds. He's a big, strong wide receiver. He also has family ties. His father was Michael Pittman, running back. I remember him playing for the Bucks back in the day. So he still has those family ties as well. Has some great speed, and he really isn't an easy guy to get down. And his hands are fantastic. In 2019, he had 100 catches in college, and he only had 2 drops. So if you're throwing the ball his way, you know that he is going to go up and grab it, which is always great to see. And you think about Phillip Rivers being on that team now. Rivers likes to throw the ball around, man. And he's going to you have T.Y. Hilton, of course. But I like Pittman coming into that offense. He's a big body with size. I really seeing him being, you know, that red zone target for Rivers, kind of playing that role that kind of Eric Ebron played a little bit. He was one of those type of players that they drew up plays for, especially in the red zone, to get the ball to him. So I can see Michael Pittman being that type of player in that offense. The last player that I wanted to touch on is Chase Claypool. He was out of Notre Dame. He's also a big boy. He's 6'4", 230 pounds. He's built kind of more of the size of like a tight end, but he does have 4.42 speed. When I watch him, he kind of reminds me of the size and the build of like A.J. Brown coming in or D.K. Metcalf. He's just a big wide receiver. He's got that speed-power combo. He has the ability to play on the outside, but I also could see him being, you know, a slot receiver. In college, he was a really good blocker, so that's not really going to hold him back from playing time. The one thing with the Steelers, though, and what I've seen traditionally, is they kind of like to move their wide receivers slowly and kind of develop them. So I don't know if he out the gate is going to be a big-time player for them, but I think Dynasty is definitely someone to watch in those format leagues, or someone that you can stash away. Big Ben's going to be back. He loves to throw the ball if he can stay healthy. Of course, you have Juju on the outside, and then Deontay Johnson, who's a young wide receiver for them. I think that Claypool can be that red zone target as well. And those are the type of young guys that I like, because if he's going to get playing time and they're going to be looking at him, if they can be scoring touchdowns and have that big body to be able to score is always a big type of thing. So those are some things to look out for moving forward fantasy-wise, especially from the wide receiver position, guys. I enjoyed hopping on and talking a little bit of football with you. I hope it was a useful episode. Feel free to direct message me on Instagram at Catching Heaters if you have any thoughts, any comments. Things you want to chop it up about, let me know. Other than that, guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy basketball this week. I think it's going to be a great NBA playoffs. And Cardinals are back. Let's go. Let's go get that championship, Cardinals. Let's go, baby. Have a great week, guys.